Welcome to Table Talks with Kay Woodward. Married for more than 43 years, Kay and her husband Galen have three married sons, nine grandchildren, and are longtime pastors in Albuquerque, New Mexico. With the recent release of her new cookbook, which is filled with treasured recipes and stories, she's excited to bring you into her world of faith and family. So, take a seat at the table with Kay as she welcomes special guests from varied backgrounds and stages of life to dive into relevant and important topics of today. Please enjoy today's episode.
Welcome to Table Talks. On today's podcast, I'll be joined by Stephanie Gass. She's wife, mom, entrepreneur, and business coach. I hope you enjoy today's show, Building a Successful Business. So I'm so glad to be joined on today's podcast by Steph Gass, like I just mentioned, and just thrilled to have you. Honestly, I've been waiting for weeks to be able to sit with you and just hear your story and all your ideas. We're going to learn so many tips today, and I really am excited. So just as a catch up to everybody, tell us a little bit about yourself and a little bit about your history in business. You're really young still.
Well, I'm 39 on Friday, so I don't even, I'm like, does 39 still constitute young?
It does,
or is that,
to me.
Okay.
When you're 63, it sounds like really young, but you've done a lot in your adult years as far as business. So just share a little bit about
yourself. Well, thanks for having me. I'm so excited to be here. I have been a full-time entrepreneur now for 14 years, and it all just kind of naturally evolved from being in corporate America, kind of growing into sales in corporate, and then getting laid off and having this pivotal breaking point of what do I want to do with my life? And at that point, I was newly engaged. And so my husband, Brad, was like, do we want to have kids? Why don't you try to do something from home? So I ended up going into network marketing, and it was new back then, like 14 years ago,
you know? Like, and not much competition.
No, there wasn't. And so my mom and I joined a company, and we were selling skincare. And I did great. Like within 4 years, I was the top 1% of the company, and it was fine. So I, you know, had a small child, like I could work all the time, and I was working all the time, but I made it. I walked the stage with a $50,000 bonus check,
got the car,
got the trips, got all the things, but something was going on inside where I was really starting to feel like I was idolizing those things. And for me, I had been saved at 9, but I wasn't really in relationship with Christ. I had kind of, I'm a Christian, but like living my life really worldly at that point. And so I remember this moment, Kay, where I walked across the stage. I had the big check. Like everything had, it was all about this moment, right? Because you're the top of the company.
You arrived.
I arrived, and I walk off the stage, and I felt the same. And I thought something was going to be different. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm going to feel so different. I felt exactly the same. And so instead of listening to that, like, oh, I wonder why I felt the same. Maybe I'm, you know, this is like a sign or like something that I should maybe be evaluating the choices that I've made. Cause I was just working nonstop at this point. I worked harder and I went even more all in at that point. And so at that point, you know, I'm kind of trying to fill this void with work, with achievement, with alcohol, with anything that I could fill it with so that I would find this thing that like, it was like this relentless searching, this doing, just constant doing all the time. And what happened next is all God. So within a year of that big moment where I made it, everybody kind of left my company. So
what year was that? Because I started following you a few years before that, like on social media, because I met you at church, maybe in passing or whatever, but I your name. Mm-hmm. So I followed you.
But what? That was in 2016. Wow. Yeah. So in 2016, I had just had Landon, my little guy. So I had this little newborn and, you know, I'm 60 pounds overweight, just had this baby. You know, I'm like going through an identity crisis as it is. And then the company starts falling apart. What I had built starts falling apart. And I couldn't put people in fast enough as far as like they were just falling out because all the new companies had arrived. We were talking before this. Like,
there's another shiny thing.
The shiny thing.
And everybody goes to the next thing because they weren't fulfilled in the first thing.
So they're all gone. And our income, my income, which was pretty substantial at that point, was cut into about a quarter of what it had been. Well, we were still living the lifestyle where we were. Like, neither one of us were really on the budget. And I remember this day, I logged into the bank account, and I realized that we didn't have enough money to pay the mortgage that day. and it was due. And I had to walk out to my husband and look him in the face and say, we don't have the money to pay the mortgage this month. And like, he made good money, but it's a lifestyle that we had been accustomed to. And I remember like, the presence of God must have dropped on him, because I would have much rather him say like, oh, what did you do? Like, but it was like so much grace in that moment. He said, it's okay.
That even makes it more sad.
It was horrible. Sad. It was like, what was all this for? So he said, we'll borrow money from our son's savings account. It's fine. And that was like a gut punch to me, because I knew that I had been this freight train just chasing after success. And it was this moment of like, what was it worth? What was it for? And I remember going back into the back room of the house, and I got out a sheet of paper, and that there was nowhere to go but God, because it was like, now I have no success. I can't even fake it that I've been successful anymore. I don't know what I'm doing, because I just had this baby. I'm not feeling good about myself. You know, I don't know where to go from here. And so I started writing on this sheet of paper, and it was like I was journaling with God. And I started writing down. I could feel the Holy Spirit just kind of leading me, like, you're a present wife, you're sober, you're an intentional business owner, you're a leader, like all these words that I wasn't coming up with for myself. And when I was done writing the paper, I remember looking at it like almost outer body, like, that's cute, but that's not possible with where I am. And that was the moment we started coming to Citizen, almost that same exact like 3 month time frame. Maybe we had been coming. We started being serious about coming, because I knew like God has to help me through this. I'm lost, because work has been my identity for, a decade at this point. And so we started going to Citizen. I remember this moment. So I have the sheet of paper, which feels cute, but I don't know what to do with it. And I'm standing there in worship one day, and I don't know what song it was, and I don't even know, but it was like the day where I finally, for the first time, raised my hands in church. And I just raised them, and I felt like the Holy Spirit just drop in. And it was like, oh, I'm sold out.
Because it was like surrender.
It was the full surrender. I had, like, I was sick of doing this, like gripping myself and my story and my success and like what people thought of me and like, what was I going to do in business? And like, I was just holding it so tightly, and I finally just let go. And that was the day that I finally gave my whole identity to God. And I said, this is all for you. So if you want me to be in business again, you do it. If you want me to be sober, you help me get there. If you want me to do all these things in my life, like, I'm going to need you. And so the next, from then till today, has been this evolution, this journey of stepping back into business, which I'm happy to share more of that story, and, doing all these baby steps to ultimately become the woman on the paper today.
So the paper. Yeah. So I'm thinking, okay, because, a lot of people journal now, and we write hopes and dreams. How did you? Because you're saying, God, I don't know what to do first. So what did you do first?
Yeah,
I mean, like, because
so
I'm thinking that's a big old list.
It's a big old list, and it was so impossible at the moment.
I'm like thinking any one of those.
Yeah.
It's a big deal.
So the first one I did, this is fun. The first thing I had written down was that I was going to get healthy. That was the first one I had written down, because I don't know. I think I had just, I was in such a weird space, and I had used my pregnancy as like an excuse to just fully just like let go. And I'm like, no, my body is supposed to be a temple. I knew this to be true,
but
I'm
supposed to let go. Cause I like that. That's the best part of being pregnant, to let go.
It was great.
But anyway, eventually you have the baby and you're stuck with what's left.
Exactly.
So I actually invested in a gym that we couldn't afford. It was one of the more expensive ones here in town, and they had a 2-hour daycare, and I felt really good about how fancy their little day. It was like, okay, this is a good place. So I started going there every single day, and I'd work out for an hour, and then I'd take the second hour and I'd like open the Bible and try to figure it out. Cause I had never really read the Bible. I didn't know like, where do I start? I didn't grow up in church. No one ever taught me any of this. And so I'm like Googling, like, which Bible do you start with? And so I'm trying to figure my way out there. I'm trying to learn to pray. Cause I didn't really, is there a right way to pray? Like, what am I, And at the same time, I'm also like, God, what do you want me to do with business? And so I'm exploring things. So I started there for like 8 months. That's all. Cause I didn't even know what to do. Well, I started to feel from that moment. So it's cool. Cause God kind of would link things together. I started to go live from I would go to my mom's house and work while one of my kiddos was in school. So I'd have little Landon on my hip and I'd start going live in this Facebook group I created. And I just talk about like tips for business or because I knew how to grow a successful online business. It was network marketing. So I was kind of like, this has got to resonate for people. It's the same stuff, regardless of what they're doing.
Yes.
So I started doing these lives, but I wouldn't like get ready. I would just let my hair be a mess, have the baby. Like I wouldn't work. And for some reason, that authenticity was connecting with.
I'm sure I saw those.
I'm sure.
This is all flashing back.
Okay. Yeah. And so I'm showing up in these groups and I start to get these DMs and emails. Steph, do you coach? And I'm like, God, do we coach? Yes, we coach. And I'm like, I coach, you know? Yeah. And like, so I start doing these calls with women who are going, I don't know what to do for my business. Do you have ideas? And I would be able to sit with someone, Kay, in 1 hour, they would kind of like word vomit in a way, like, this is what I like, yes. and these are what I like yes. to do. And I would be able to take all of this thing that they thought was a mess and put it in like three cohesive sentences and hand it back. Like, this is what you do. This is what you're called to do. This is how to make it a business. This is what you need to start with. And it was so clear. And they would go, oh my gosh, thanks for the clarity. Mm-hmm. So I started to, I do clarity coaching. And I started to air snippets of the coaching in the groups. And so all of a sudden I'm getting more, but it was slow. So I, of course, doing what online business owners do, was showing up everywhere. I'm like, well, maybe if I write a blog or I start a YouTube channel or I go on the, and I was everywhere, but nothing was sticking and it was slow. And I knew like at this point, this was like 2 years into this whole journey, right, of becoming a woman on the paper, and I was doing really good, but I knew I was being called to step back in. And so I just intentionally, like, God, how am I supposed to grow this? What is this? I don't even know what this is. How do I grow the coaching? How do I help more women in this space? And in 2018, so it's been 2 years, right, of this kind of showing up, exploring, going, working on health, intentional, all of those other pieces of me, my parenting, my marriage, all these things. And it was going great. And I had a prophetic dream and I really heard God in my dream tell me to start a podcast. It was extremely clear. I didn't listen to podcasts. So that wasn't something I had been thinking about. As you know, like,
yeah,
I wasn't.
I'm like, what?
Yeah, I'm not going.
It sounds like school to me.
Yeah.
When I first heard a podcast, I thought, who wants to hear a lesson every day? And then I realized it's just live, but that's crazy. In 2018.
Yeah, 2018. And that was in October of 2018. So the next day, because if there's two things about me, one is I'm a huge action taker. And the second is I was like, I'm going to be obedient. When I hear a word from the Lord, like I'm going. Because I had tried to do it by myself for too long. And I was sick of that version of my story. And so I had this staticky Amazon mic in a drawer. It was awful. It was like $20. And I created some ugly podcast art. On Canva, like I'm an awful graphic designer.
Yeah, same.
You know, and so.
And I know Canva.
Yeah, and then of course I was like, well, I don't have the money to do that. Like, I'll just do it myself. So a bunch of lessons in that in itself, but I started. And I called it the Mompreneur Mastermind Show. And I just started talking about kind of random things. I talk about like your mindset or like anything. Anyways, it was kind of all over the place because I didn't know. I didn't have clarity yet. But I would start to air the episodes of the coaching calls with the women who would give me permission on the podcast. Well, Kay, what happened? It was insane. Like this little side gig with like a couple coaching clients here and there. I mean, it grew so large. Like I had to cap it within 2 years. It was insane the amount of growth that happened with the coaching business. And so when people would say, well, I have the business down, now what? And I said, well, for me, podcasting grew my business. And they'd say, can you show me how? So I ended up building an online course that taught people to podcast. So people would coach with me and then they'd buy my course. Well, pretty soon they started saying, how do I make money from the podcast? And I'd say, well, we need to build your course or your coaching. And so I created a mastermind program. And so they would go through these three tiers with me. And eventually I ended up replacing coaching with a course as well. So now I have a course to get clarity, a course to start a podcast.
And it's a better use of time.
And then a mastermind. Really? Right. And now I only coach in the big program to help people monetize. But it was this big evolution of like yeses with God and also no's to me. Like, no, I'm only going to focus on one thing at a time. I'm going to be no to that, but yes to this. Like, basically focusing my decisions on the woman on the paper that he'd given me a vision of over a, what was that? You know, gosh, that's been 8 years now, I guess.
So I'm thinking through. So fun fact that I started this podcast like you. I don't think about things a long time. If I get an idea, I just jump in. And then I go, I think I should have brought my floaties. And then jump in the deep end, and I'm like, I don't swim. But then I knew that I wanted to talk to you because I knew your business past. And I told you this a couple of months ago, that I felt that everything you touched really was successful, but not even knowing till today the story of your faith journey through all of that. And then when I Googled you after I first talked to you, and I went, oh no, she teaches people how to do podcasts, and I'm going to have her to my house on a podcast. And here, you know, but wow, I mean, what do you do? So I'm hearing all this and I'm thinking, I know there's people listening that just want to be successful without the sacrifice of more time away from family or more time away from their church or volunteerism or what it is they do. Because if I'm listening to you, and I am, and you're so passionate, but you made a jump from never, I mean, feeling so guilty about not being with your family or missing things or not having boundaries. I mean, boundaries is a weird word for me because I think people overuse it sometimes when they just don't want to face some things in life. But anyway, I know what you mean when you talk about boundaries, but you made that jump from that to something else. And I just can imagine people are driving down their street right now thinking, I want that. I want that. Whether, so even if a woman or a man is listening and they're thinking, I have a job that I really can't quit, but things you're saying are inspiring me, because just the first thing, you wrote things down, you dare to dream, and you wrote down, you know. So I'm wondering also, back, just, you know, we go back just a little bit. You said that you wrote on the paper also about alcohol.
Yes.
So I, you know, everybody has their own opinion of that, but obviously it had a hold of you.
Yes.
And when someone has a habit or something they want to stop, how did you do that? Like, what was a big deal?
Yeah, that was a big one.
Because you wanted to get healthy.
Yes, I wanted to get healthy. And, you know, my family has a history of alcoholism. I started drinking early. I was probably 14 years old, started drinking in high school. And I wasn't the person that would have a drink. I was the person who would drink and black out.
Because you go big.
Because I go big. I go big with everything, you know. And I have a little bit of an addictive personality, which now it's great because I can be addicted to Jesus with a sprinkle of coffee, right?
Yes.
But back then, like, it was often the things that the world would tell you to be addicted to. And so it ended up just turning into like, oh, I wonder if it's like, oh, it's 3. I guess I could start drinking. Like, looking for excuses to drink, where it could have easily become a real problem for me. And what happened is interesting. After I had my first son, I would still drink, you know, a few times a week. But again, like, it wasn't like, I wouldn't call it like a normal consumption. I would say I was looking for reasons and excuses to overdrink. And I started to get sick from the alcohol, and like, I would feel like my fingers would swell, almost like an allergic reaction. But for over like 2 years, I just minimized it. Like, oh, it's not the alcohol. I'm having travel anxiety, or I would make any excuse up because I didn't want to give it up. But remember, at this time, I'm also going through my faith growth. And so it's almost like exactly lining up, right? Where it's like, so at that point, like 2016 is where this started getting, where I started going, wait a minute, God, are you trying to ask me to lay this down? And so the first thing I did was I paused long enough to ask him the question, like, is the reason that I'm feeling this aversion because you are asking me to lay this down? I didn't want to lay it down, but I would like to know if that's your intention here, you know? And so I was willing to pray and ask. Mm. Then the next prayer had to be, I need you to help me want to give this up, because I didn't want to.
And that could have been, you know, for you, it was, you know, drinking, it was alcohol, but for other people, it could be anything. I'm thinking of things in my own life. For other people, it could be something else.
Oh my gosh.
And we're not really willing.
Yeah, it can be any of the things that we, the things that you're coveting, right? The things that you don't want to let go of, any type of idolatry. And sometimes we don't even recognize it is, like, maybe it's your phone. I still struggle with my phone. I'm constantly praying the prayer, Lord, help me to like lose
my
phone.
For my phone.
We make excuses for all the things.
Excuses for, like, I need to have my phone because what if?
Yes. Or the shopping or whatever the thing might be.
Yeah, because an ad might come up, or my husband's out of town.
Exactly.
My grandchild might call.
Exactly.
But it could be anything.
It could be anything.
That we make excuses. That just dawned on me. Whatever I'm bent on making an excuse for, maybe that's the thing I need to really work on.
Inventory it, right?
Because one of that's, and I want you to continue that story, but because one of my questions to you today was, where was your faith journey and all this? Yes. But it was all about the faith journey.
Yes, it was almost the
faith
perfectly
aligned with the faith journey, which is so interesting. And everything is in God's timing, right? And so at this point, I started talking to people in my circle. I would tell like my husband, Brad, like, I wonder if God's asking me to like let this go. So I'd start to do these like mini fasts from alcohol. And I was angry. Like I remember we went camping one time and everyone else would go to a brewery. And in my brain, alcohol equaled fun. So I'm like, well, I can't have fun. Everyone else is drinking at the table. And him just being like, oh, I'm sorry. And for me, I was like, I was mad that I couldn't be part of it. But I knew if I drank, I was going to get sick. Like I would get viscerally sick from one beer. And this was like, it was weird because I used to drink all the time and have no issues. And so okay, well, this is just something that I'm not supposed to do anymore. Anyways, so that kind of went on and I'd have a few drinks and be reminded, my fingers would swell up like, nope, I can't do it. So funny enough, what happened was I ended up, I think it was some type of like church-led fast or something. And I said, I'm going to just do 30 days, which is funny because I have another story that's almost exactly the same with social media. But I ended up stopped not drinking for over a month. It was perfectly fine. I realized like, oh, I'm just going to bring my own fancy drink if there's events. And I just had to stop going like, I'm not drinking because, but I had to be declarative and say, I don't drink anymore. And when I started to be declarative, all of a sudden, all these things I had in my head around people going like, why don't you drink? Or like, blah, blah, nobody cared anymore. It's like, oh, she just doesn't drink. Like, it's just that she doesn't do it. And what happened in my brain is my subconscious flipped and it went, she doesn't drink it. I do not drink. Like this is no longer available. And so the tiptoeing around it I had been doing for over a year, it took that moment of declaration. And from that day forward, I didn't drink again. I never did. And I don't like it's the desire's fully left me. It's completely gone. It's never come back.
So interesting that our vision is truly 2020 when we look back on something.
Yes.
And it's so hard when we're going through it. So, you know, you had to have felt in 2016 or whenever you could feel your organization starting to unravel that, okay, my life is, I mean, I can't see you in this, you know, God anywhere. And I thought I had a purpose. I thought this was your plan. And then God starts showing you, but if you're like me, I don't see it till I'm through it because it's the journey is just, it's, you know, it is truly a journey at times. I can't see, you know, my hand in front of me, but the word of God tells us that his word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path.
Yes.
And so you, the very first thing you said is you spent the second hour of your free babysitting at the gym getting in God's word.
Yes.
So he could illuminate what he wanted you to do and the path he wanted you to take.
Yes.
And in that whole time, your family still needed money.
Yeah.
While you're learning and finding your way, your family needed money. So I'm just still like, what did you do in that time were you just living off your husband's salary?
Yes, we were. And once we like adjusted the spending, we were fine, which was great. That was fine. Now, obviously I wasn't being frivolous because part of, you know, the culture I was in was like, you need to spend your money and show how successful you are.
Mm-hmm.
And I had been part of that culture. And so I had to retrain my brain to go, you know, my worthiness and success is not in the things I can buy or the things that I can achieve, but it's just in me. And this was a huge evolution. Like when God says in scripture, like you will be made new, that is not a joke. Like if you were to look at me today and you were to look at me even 10 years ago, okay, truly completely different people. It's absolutely mind-blowing to me that like the reasons I show up in my work, it's just to glorify God. And the funny part is the business now is it's so big it's God's. It can't even be mine. I didn't even have any of what it has become in my mind or in my heart. It's like, this has to be God.
Well, I go on your website and I can't hardly get past the first layer. There's so many layers of your website. Your business is huge.
It is huge. It's
It's huge. It's bigger than you could hope, think, or imagine. And what, you know, I mean, I can't even, it blows my mind. So I get overwhelmed. I'm like, I don't even, there's so many layers. This is just so big. So, you know, I feel like in this, from 2016, 18 till now, there has to have been setbacks or the times when you question yourself again, again. So I'm thinking about people listening, thinking, oh, I'm motivated. I want to start a business. I want to do something. But then the first negative thing or setback or the first person that says, what are you doing?
Yep.
And I mean, I feel that even now, like people are looking at me like, why did you write a cookbook? I mean, why didn't you write something spiritual?
Sure.
Like a devotion would have been nice, or a book. And so I wrote a cookbook.
Yes.
And I give people recipes. So, you know, and I question myself all the time. So how did you handle, and do you still handle, when you second guess yourself, or, you know, this is, I'm kind of, you know, going on rabbit trails, but hopefully the Lord is leading us.
He's definitely leading us. I think I heard something recently, and it was, your God-given dreams are always hard. Like, if it's not hard, it's not a God-given dream.
Say that again.
See if I can get there. It is, if it's a God-given dream, it's always hard.
Wow, good.
And so when I started the podcast, I remember it being hard because, you know, I remember one of the episodes had awful sound and I got my first bad review. And oh, I should quit. Like, this isn't working. Like, all of that is always going to happen when you start something new. Here's the thing. Like, something new is unknown. That's the truth. And because it's unknown, our natural inclination is to be afraid of it because it's out of our comfort zone.
Yes.
So we have to go, no. Something new is an opportunity to grow into my own capacity, to grow into God's capacity for me. But I didn't realize that at the time. And so I always was stopping myself. And here's what I really discovered, Kay, for me, and all of you have a story here. I was just afraid of success because I thought, I'm going to become her again. I can't make too much money.
The pressure, the pressure of being me was hard. I've been in this world for almost 30 years. Mm-hmm. And I would sometimes think the pressure of being what I thought I had to be was so much sometimes.
So big.
And I just wanted to be content.
And if you miss the things, everybody, like, it was a whole cultural thing that was definitely unhealthy for me where I was at the time. And I just wanted to really find this way that I could grow with him. And so I remember in 2019, here's a funny story of wanting to quit. I'd been podcasting now for 2 years, right? Things are going well. I'm making some money. I'm having success. I think I've got a couple team members at this time. A big, really, really prominent podcaster comes out with a podcast course. And I just decided that it was all over, Kay. I was like, well, now that person has a podcast course, like nobody has podcast courses, you know? And I'm like, and I have one. And now I have to quit. I wrote in my little journal because I still have it and I've circled it and I've put it on the wall to remind people how ridiculous we are sometimes. And it was like, now this isn't going to be worth it. I got to think of a new course. Like, this doesn't make sense. I can't, like, this whole thing, I'm ranting and raving because somebody else has something that I had. And anyway, since that point, right, that is now, oh my gosh, like 5 years ago, she doesn't even market hers. And mine is probably one of the well-known courses, definitely in the Christian online entrepreneur space. And the point of it is, like, it's not even about us at all. And I think that's the pressure release valve. Like, it's not about me. It's not about my course. It's not about anything that I have created here. It's about the willingness to say, God, I am going to do this thing that you've asked me to do, and you will give me the words, you will give me the way, you will give me the people, and I just need to get out of your way.
So good.
I just need to do it and be okay with the failing forward piece, because I failed a lot of times. There's stuff that was messy. You know, I've had people on the team come and go, and I, even as I've become successful, even more so successful from like a business perspective, there's moments of like comparison and there's moments of, you know, oh, they have this or I don't have this yet. And I just stop, because we're human. We have to stop and remind ourselves that it's not about us. It's about God. And what is my next level of capacity you're trying to grow me into, God, so I can glorify you?
That's so counterintuitive, because our society very much so today says, you have to protect yourself. Mm-hmm. Think about yourself. Put yourself first, because if you don't, no one else is. So, you know, it is all about, it's about me. And what you're saying is so true. And I'm still at my age learning that every single day, that if I can take myself out of the equation, and it is a choice every single day. If I take myself out of the equation and say, God, who might you want to help with this? Mm-hmm. Or, and guess what? If you don't help anyone else, me. Yeah. It's helping me. Yes. And so if I'm growing, then that's good enough. But taking ourselves, we just heard that in the sermon this past Sunday.
Right. Yeah.
God, this is all you.
Right.
It can't be about me or us. It's all you. So when you're saying that, our culture says, no, that's not true. But you're saying, and I believe it with everything in me, because it's a biblical principle. If we seek first his kingdom, mm-hmm. and honestly, I need to be the least of these. I don't, and that's so different. So please hear me. It's not being stepped on and trampled on
sure.
in an abusive situation
sure.
or job. So all of those, we're going to take that as a given
yeah.
that I don't believe in any of that. But the word of God, and we're both believers, mm-hmm. and we believe that no matter what culture says, that if we don't, you know, if we're okay to not be first,
yes.
then maybe that, and I could go on hours with you just
yes.
talking past, because
yes.
I've lived that life and I've been first
mm-hmm.
and then not,
mm-hmm.
and what that feels like. And I just want, I think content is the word
yeah.
and to fulfill. You said this too, and I'm stressing it because I want people to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
If they were at a stoplight and didn't catch what you said, that we, to go to the next level of our capacity. And that is so uncomfortable.
Oh.
It is, because when I get to a level of capacity and I feel good, because I have memory there and
mm-hmm.
I have, you know, I don't want to, I'm like, this is good.
Yes,
I'm so you know, and I've done it all. I have every reason now to be okay
yeah.
to not ask God to take me to a new level of capacity.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting because my husband and I both kind of semi-retired a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And we are both in such different, doing different things now that we never dreamed we would or could have done
yeah.
in our retirement
yep.
years. And I know that's God because,
oh,
you know, it is crazy to me. So I have so many questions for you, and I don't
yes.
want our time to go when we don't get to talk about them. But And we talked about it. You have strategies
yes.
and you have podcasts and you have courses
mm-hmm.
that people can take. And your website is stephaniegass.com.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Stephanie with an F. And it'll all be here, you know, when you see when you get the podcast, it'll all be spelled out. But if you're listening or watching, but you have, if just to help someone right here,
mm-hmm.
what would be some things you would share with them? Key strategies. If
yeah.
you had to give someone two or three key strategies to growing any business,
right.
even if they're working for someone,
okay.
you know, how they want to make a change today. They're motivated and inspired because, you know, honestly, everybody's not called to start a business
sure, of course.
Because it requires a whole different thing.
It's a whole thing.
but they are required, I feel like, especially as Christians,
mm-hmm.
if you're a believer, to, you know, God gives us his best to do. So some strategies.
Sure.
So the first thing that I think we have to discern through as Christians is, what is the purpose of my work? And then is it the purpose of my future work? Because God always places us where he places us. And we have to make the most of it from a biblical perspective, right? Which means whether you're in corporate or you have your own job or you're working in ministry, show up and just ask God. And there are some days I'm like, Holy Spirit, I'm going to need you to lead my steps today. Just whatever you need from me today, please help me to lead from a Holy Spirit place in the work that you've set me in. Because there are doors for you no matter where you are.
Yes.
There is opportunity. Mm-hmm. There are conversations that are going to lead somebody. And you don't even have to worry about it. The most, again, pressure-relieving advice I once got was, I was sitting with my dad as he was passing from cancer, and he was not a believer. And I told some of my spiritual mentors, and I said, I feel so much pressure. Like, I have to, like, we had a conversation that was like to the point, and I didn't get very far with it. And I said, I feel so much pressure. Like, I have to make him believe, you know,
like, I need to make sure.
I need to make sure.
Yeah.
And they said, if you just go and you just are there,
wow,
Your presence is enough. God will show you what to do. Mm. And it was like, this is the same premise. And to that point, like, it did end up culminating to where I believe that my dad was saved in the last moments of his life. My son had a dream and it was very confirming. And all these things happened to wrap that story, because I'm sure.
That's recent. That's just a few years.
That was a few years ago. And my point there is, like, just show up in where you are. So instead of the mindset of, like, well, this isn't my purpose, or this doesn't feel great for me for today, or I want to do this other thing. God knows that. He has your entire life perfectly, purposefully planned for you. So show up where you are and trust that his timing is going to be just right. If I hadn't gone through the whole thing I went through with my business failures and all the things, I wouldn't be having this podcast with Kay right now, because I wouldn't have a story. I wouldn't be able to coach the women I coached through.
And you learned
their
all
things.
That was a all learning experience. How to speak, what to do, how to push through fear.
Yes.
You learned all that. Yeah. That's how I feel. Mm-hmm. All the years of my business experience taught me to be okay on a stage and be myself.
Right.
I would have never been able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, show up. That is so big. To
just show up. And ask Holy Spirit, today, how do I show up for you? How do I show up for God? What are the conversations you'd like to lead me to? It's the perspective and the mindset that you go in with into where you're planted. The second piece, though, is to be clear on, where am I going? What's the next step? What's the call or the mission work or the volunteer thing I want to do? Or do I want to write the book? Do I want to start the podcast? Do I want to start my own business? When you get clear on, because maybe you're where you are, but you know there's something more, there's this hard rock and a hard place of, like, wanting that so much that you start to make this sour, and God needs you here because he's preparing you for where you're going. And so just having this really excited expectation about, I don't know how I'm going to get there, God, but I'm with you. And really being open and available to God for the ask. So it was like, when I get clear and I'm quiet first to hear him, but then clear, it's, God, I'm excited for that. I'm afraid of it, because you will be. I don't know how to start. I don't know where to go. I don't know who to talk to. But if you could just make the next right step available for me, you are not a God of confusion. I will walk in it. And that prayer will help you and know that, like, God is not a God who's going to confuse you. And he's also not a God who's going to lay it all out. So you're going to have to take one step and trust. And then you're going to take another step and trust, because that's how he works.
If he laid it all out, we would run the other way.
We wouldn't do it. It's terrifying.
It was horrible. And you said something too. You said, and don't let me get sour in the moment. Mm. So while I'm waiting for the clarity, I won't get sour in that moment. And I feel that, you know, about this podcast I'm doing with you right now, because when I compiled that cookbook in the fall and the stories, and just, it was very cathartic for me.
Yeah.
And I thought when I was finished that it was finished.
That was it.
It launched. And, well, that was fun.
Yeah.
And then I went, I think there's something more.
Yes,
and
definitely.
I have younger friends. Imagine that.
Yes.
I have some friends that are Gen Z, and I surround myself with a lot of different kinds of people and ages. And several of them said, you should start a podcast. And I said, oh, no thanks. And if I'd have really known what all the work it was, I would have really said no thanks. I'm like, oh no, that's for, no, you know, but God. And as I woke up this year, the same as I did last year about the cookbook in January 24, I went, I think I'm going to have a meeting with a few people about a podcast.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you've said so much that's just got my mind spinning, and you've affirmed so much for me. So I'm just hoping people that are listening are thinking, A, that I'm going to, you know, learn to be content where I'm at.
Right.
And every day ask the Holy Spirit and ask the Lord to help me to know what to do that day.
Yeah.
And to be aware of open doors and doors that I need to open.
Yes.
Because sometimes the door is not wide open. Sometimes I have to touch the knob and turn it.
Always.
And see
often.
If it's locked or not. Because, you know, if there's three doors, I can try them all. That doesn't mean that I don't know God's will for my life if I try three doors.
Yep.
But be willing to, if a door's locked, not to necessarily try to pry it open.
That's right.
Or to call the locksmith.
That's right.
But to go for the open door when it twists and opens, to go, okay.
That's so good. And to that point, also to notice what doors are trying to close like the ones that we talked about with maybe the striving or any addictions or any things that you know you need to change some certain behaviors. Mm-hmm. Here's one thing I do know for sure. God was trying to take me from here to here, but there were certain things that had to change in my life for me to be able to shepherd and steward this level of responsibility.
That's just good. All that verbiage.
Yeah.
Shepherd and steward.
And so I had to change, and that had to come from me. Now I asked him for the desire to help me stop and the tools, and it was a couple of years of work to get there. But if you can just recognize and realize there's such a gift and so much fruit on the other side of the relinquishing the stuff that you know you should, there's something better for you on the other side of that, but you have to make the decision. You have to take the action. And so wherever that finds you, just know he's with you in that, because it may feel impossible, right? But with God, all things are possible.
Yeah. So many things. God doesn't, he's not up in heaven smiling and laughing and right. keeping secrets from us.
Right.
He's like, I have the way.
Yes.
I want to show it to you.
Yes.
And I care about your everyday life, your business, mm-hmm. your, you know, how you make money mm-hmm. and what you're going to do in your life and how you parent and your marriage, all those things. And I've given you my whole word mm-hmm. that I can speak to you through that so much. Just one last question. I know how hard it is. Mm-hmm. I don't want to say the word hard, but challenging.
Yeah.
So scratch hard, challenging to own your own business or to step out into something new. So how do you stay motivated? Because I'm sure there are days
right.
that even though things are, I mean, you're in a rhythm, mm-hmm. you're in a place, you're moving and shaking and God, you're content. You feel like God's smiling on your life.
Mm-hmm.
How do you stay motivated though? Because it's not always easy.
Yeah, it's not. And I think for me, the biggest thing that I've learned is it's a constant inventory of the whys.
Mm.
So if you're unmotivated, you have to remove yourself from your emotion. Like, it's okay to feel something, but I feel it for a minute. And then I objectively take a step back and go, why? Is it environmental? Is it that I'm just not feeling great today? Is it because I'm actually sad because the sale didn't go well? Like, what is the actual reason?
That's great.
Because sometimes we just press in like, I don't feel like it, but there's always a reason. And then when we look at the reason, we can discern, is the reason something I can control or not? If it's something you can control, you can change it. And so if you're unmotivated because maybe you're working too much and you're a solopreneur and you haven't taken that step to hire someone to help you in the business, and you can start to see that that is a recurring theme, well, you can control that, fix it. And you're going to immediately see that pressure lift off of you. It's, for me, it's always about how can this be easier? So how can I make things easier in my company or business? And then it's also, how can I make things more automated? Because time to me is the most valuable resource. And the more time that I created, the more I could be the visionary of the company, the more that I could do the things I enjoyed. So it took a lot of letting go of control. And for me, you know, getting the right people in place, which you can't usually afford it when you make those kinds of decisions, or you think you can't. So that kind of stuff. So what can I control? And then the other piece of this is like, what can you not control? You've got to let those things go. Those things you can't control, those have to be handed to Jesus so you can keep moving forward in your business and your company. So what can you control and what can you not? And then go make the change, be decisive, be disciplined in those things you can control, because God's trying to take you places, right? There's another level, and you don't need to be afraid of it. You're already there. It's already available. We're just in our own way so many times.
That's so good. I think that's an amazing stopping point. I'm so motivated. I asked the Lord before I start a podcast. I have notes and I have questions, but I always ask, God, please lead the conversation. You know, let it be what you want it to be. So I know that today, not only will it inspire people that are listening, but my prayer is that it would motivate people and encourage them that there's more mm-hmm. and that God for sure has a specific plan, and they're walking already in it.
Yes.
They're walking in the plan. Do you have one last word you want to say to motivate us as we finish?
I think the only other thing I would say is, if you can just recognize that the days feel hard and heavy sometimes, but it's not actually about the day. It's about the big journey, and we actually have eternity and forever to be with God and to continue our good works. So if you're feeling the pressure and the striving and the hustle and like the hurry, to remember to just relinquish that, because today builds on tomorrow, but it ultimately builds on eternity. And so for those of us who are the driven, the A type, the doers, right? For us to stop long enough to smell the roses and to really take a step back and enjoy the growth process, knowing that it's going to be forever.
That's so good. I honestly, I'm so, so grateful that you said yes when I reached out for you to come on this podcast. I'm just, what an amazing short time to be together. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you for having me. I've had a great time.
It's been great. Thank you for joining me today on Table Talks. For more content and information about upcoming episodes, please visit my website at kwoodward.com. You can also explore other podcast links and resources there. Until next time.